This is a BloomerBoomer.com podcast with host Andy Asher. It's about news, information, ideas, and tips for living life over 55.
Well, hi, everyone. I hope your week is going okay. Now, the question of money, you know, it has bedeviled us and perplexed us and made us happy and sad, and I don't think anyone has the perfect answer about handling money, but some people just seem to make a little bit more sense than others. And one guy that might be like that, who probably shouldn't make sense, that is, because of his wacky nickname, he calls himself the crazy man in the pink wig, and that brings a smile to my face. Oh, and did I say he's written a book called Financial Happiness, Discover What a Pink Wig and a Crazy Way of Thinking Can Do to Change the Course of Your Life Forever, he says. And he claims to be a millionaire. Now, his real name is Mike Finley. Now, he doesn't sound fancy when he talks. He says it's okay to be skeptical of him. You decide for yourself. Oh, anyway, let's get to my first question. I asked Mike, well, who are you?
I see myself as an advocate for the individual, trying to help them educate themselves not only on being wise with their money, but understanding all the forces working against them.
So, Mike, what got you going on all this?
Well, at the age of 25, I found myself financially illiterate, and I read my first money book, as I say, and it opened my eyes to the possibilities of what a financial life could look like. And so over the years, I gradually educated myself. And as I changed my financial life, I felt compelled to help others do the same. And I retired at the age of 45, and I've dedicated my life from that point on to helping others not only understand this world of money, but understand the forces that are working against them.
Well, when you say you retired at 45, we better get that question out of the way real quick, because otherwise people are going to wonder, how did he do that? So why don't you go ahead and tell us about that, and then we can go into some of the lessons. How did you manage that?
You bet. So I served 26 years in the United States Army. I retired as a first sergeant, and I used the passive income from a pension plan, as well as my investments, to supplement my living standard that I have today. And that is doable for many people once they start to understand passive income and understand how to invest their money to earn the highest return at the lowest cost. And that's basically what I work with teaching others.
So, Mike, my hat's off to you for serving 26 years in the U.S. military. That's such an honorable thing to do. But hopefully I won't offend you too much saying at the same time, we know that typically you don't make a lot of money. So maybe you could tell us a little bit more about how you managed to be so successful. I should say be so successful from a financial standpoint. So was there a particular strategy that you used?
There is. And specifically, the issue I focus on is after-cost return. Far too many people focus on the before cost, and they don't consider the loads and the expense fees and much of the costs that come with many investments, especially insurance products like annuities, cash value life insurance, and many of the actively managed mutual funds that are sold by financial advisors and investment brokers. Those investments incur great fees that the individual must pay. And once you start to understand those fees and eliminate them, you end up keeping that money that you were losing to the financial industry.
Was there any overriding lesson that you learned?
Well, what I learned early in my life, starting at age 25, is how important it was to save each month, paying myself first consistently over time. And as I did that, I gradually built up a large enough kitty to where that money started working for itself. And I did become a millionaire by the age of 45, not because I was the smartest person in the room, but because I had developed a habit that brought me to wealth.
You know, we're all so bombarded with so much advertising and products out there that entice us it's really hard not to be tempted to spend our money there rather than putting it away and saving or investing it.
That's right. I spend quite a bit of time speaking to people on materialism and being easily influenced by advertising and very effective marketing campaigns that basically try to help people identify happiness, success, prosperity with stuff. And that's nothing but an illusion. And once the individual starts to acknowledge that, they can start to distance themselves from stuff. They can disconnect from materialism. And when you do that, you open up so many other parts of life that really can be so much better.
Well, that in itself is a great lesson, and I would imagine that on any discussion, wouldn't that have to be the starting point?
Yes, I really believe it is. I have a curriculum that I teach at the University of Northern Iowa, and that is one of the early states, one of the early points that we cover, because once you start to disconnect from stuff, that's when you start opening up opportunities to save your money. And if you get focus so much on buying the next best thing, you'll never have enough money to save. So it's imperative that the individual identifies this illusion, and then the money starts to become available to save and invest and grow over time.
And of course, Mike, for some of us, you might say it's just a little too late. Our investment and our net worth is what it is, and unlikely to dramatically go up for any particular reason. Is it too late?
Well, it's certainly never too late to focus on your investment costs. So looking at exactly how much are your investment costing you each and every year, you should know that down to the very small decimal point. And you have full control. The individual has full control over costs. You do not control markets. You don't control what's going to happen in Russia or China or the United States, but you do have full control over costs. So the individual needs to take full responsibility to get those costs down, and you do that through index funds, specifically no-load index funds or target date funds that own index funds.
So I think, Mike, what I hear you saying is we really don't need this outside help on and advice on how to invest. We can really do it on our own. Is that right?
And for some people, they may need help. But one of my statements I make to a lot of people is many of you do not. So don't just start with the premise that you need help. First, start educating yourself. Learn about this world of investing and money and how to receive money in retirement. And then if you need help, and again, that's a big if, but if you do, seek out a fee-only financial planner. And generally speaking, I recommend NAPFA, that's NAPFA.org. But with NAPFA, you're getting somebody who's working as a true fiduciary for you. That what is important to you, what is best for you is the responsibility of that individual. So they're not working for anybody except you. And with fee only, you're paying for money under management. You're not paying for commissions. You're not paying a salesperson to peddle other products that are benefiting them and their firm. So if a person needs somebody to help them, and I know some people do, a fee-only planner would be the route that I would recommend somebody look at. And by all means, talk to friends, family, who have had good results with fee-only planners. Key there, fee-only, not fee-based.
So I hear what you're saying. With a fee-based moniker, the advisor is still going to be getting commission on other products, which you're saying we don't want, as opposed to the fee-only.
That's right. So with fee-based, which I'm sure you notice how closely associated those two terms are, that is many other ways of being compensated. Commissions, other kinds of fees, kickbacks. You want simple fee-only planners that work truly for your needs only. The one issue that I would make, the point I'd make to some people at many different age groups, 60, 70, I've seen firsthand people in 65, 70, 75 years old take full control of their investments, fire their brokers, get rid of their financial advisors, and take control of their investments. I've seen it. It can be done. And a lot of it has to do with education. And that's something I have spent a lifetime working at, especially when I put together my website, thecrazymanandthepinkwig.com. And that is a resource that I provide to anybody who wants to further their education on money, investing, pretty much anything when it comes to how people manage their money.
So, Mike, at the risk of repeating myself, if you're already at retirement, your nest egg is what it is, more or less, and there's no real silver bullet to change any of that.
That's right. And by all means, people, and if they're close to retirement, maybe not quite there, they really want to think very carefully about when they're going to take Social Security. So for many people, if they can, it's generally advised, and I certainly recommend it, waiting until age 70 to take your Social Security and use some of your other retirement funds to provide for your lifestyle prior to age 70, if the individual can afford to do that.
Of course, there was a time when we could count on living off the interest from a government bond or some super safe investment, but nowadays, the interest rate is so darn low, it's nearly impossible to do that unless you have a huge nest egg.
Right, right. So I generally, first of all, you have to figure out what is your asset allocation and what is the right amount for you as an individual. And that's really something that goes specific with your individual situation. But once you've identified your asset allocation, my recommendation would be to allocate your investments in stocks, which can be U.S. as well as international, and bonds, and generally in this environment, short-term bonds. And when I say stocks and bonds, I'm talking about stocks and bond index funds with those very low fees. And then you can access money out of whichever account that you need to based on how it's doing in that particular environment. In other words, if stocks have gone up for the year, you might take money out of your stock fund. If bonds have gone up, you take money out of your bonds fund. And that's kind of hard psychologically to take money out of the winners to the losers. But that's what needs to happen as you basically start accessing money in retirement, is looking at the investment returns and living off your winners rather than your losers. And psychologically, that can be difficult for some folks.
Yeah, it can. And I suppose that a financial advisor is going to say, well, that's where I come in, that then I'm the person of reason. I wonder if that's true.
Well, I know that's the pitch. I challenge that based off what I've seen in my life. Once upon a time, I had a financial advisor. And one thing that really concerns me, and especially to some of the older folks, is how accounts can get churned. And churning takes place when the advisor tells the individual that, okay, the environment's changed, so now we need to sell this item and we need to buy this. And then 6 months or a year later, well, okay, the environment's changed again. We need to sell this and buy that. And that churning process makes a lot of money with loads for the financial advisor, but that comes at a cost to the individual.
That's right. Now, I say this a little tongue-in-cheek, but Mike, what got you so angry with financial advisors anyway?
Yeah. Well, you end up, from my experience and from working in this field for 25 years, you end up paying for something you really don't receive. In other words, you're paying extra money for services that are costing you money that you could have done by yourself and received a higher return on your investment. In other words, owning benchmark index funds would have been the most cost-effective and highest return investment you could have had over many years. It took me many years to learn that. And that can be a challenging thing for any one of us to accept the fact that, you know, maybe we're not so smart. Maybe we're not the person who can pick the winners. And financial advisors, of course, they rely on you to believe that. They rely on you to believe that somehow they have the secrets. And I'm here to tell people they do not.
Yeah, that would it be fair for me to say that it's not rocket science?
It is not rocket science. And it only feels that way partially because the financial industry wants you to think so. So you'll run to them with your money. And instead of educating yourself, you just hand over your money and say, help me. And that's the mistake. Key here, the best investment any one of us can make, whether we're 20 or 60, is investing in ourselves, learning and understanding about the world of money, and that includes investing. And with my book, Financial Happiness, I tried to do that.
Well, Mike, it's been a fascinating discussion, and for people who may want to carry on the next step from here, what would you advise?
Well, I would encourage them to start reading from teachers rather than salespeople. Teachers, meaning people who are actually educating you on the world of investing and trying to help you as an individual, trying to educate you so you can make the best decisions going forward, rather than what most of the financial industry would do, which is educate you in ways that benefit them the most. So, some wonderful teachers. I would always start with John Bogle, one of the most well-respected men in the investment business, the creator of the Vanguard Group, and somebody that I have the greatest of respect for. Also books written by William Bernstein, my favorite investment book of all time, The Four Pillars of Investing, is a wonderful book. Bogle has his little book of Common Sense Investing. I would encourage people to look into that. And Daniel Solon has also written some very good, simple investment books that cut right to the chase in educating a person about the world of investing. And I would never forget the classic by Burton McHill, A Random Walk Down Wall Street. And the key here is, when I recommend them, they don't pay me any money. You want to look for the people that are trying to help you. They're not being compensated by other parties. That builds a conflict of interest that you cannot afford.
Yeah, and for people who are going to be making these transactions, do they do this on one of the online sites, or whereabouts would they do all of this?
Sure, and so for pretty much anybody, my recommendation is the Vanguard Group. So it's vanguard.com. It is the largest mutual fund firm in America. They have over $2.2 trillion under management. And that's where you can buy those very inexpensive index funds. And you can do that online. You can do it over the phone. And, of course, you can have statements sent to you just as you've had over the last few decades.
And if someone takes all your advice, then what?
Well, once you do become educated, first of all, you're going to see a whole world open up to you, just as I did. Then you've got to take action. You can't sit there and be knowledgeable without action, because it's not going to do you any good. So you got to take action, and that means looking at your investments, looking at the cost that you're incurring on a yearly basis, and then look at how you could do it better through index investing. And that might mean transferring money to Vanguard into the index funds of your choice once you've identified the asset allocation that works for you. So for many people, that may be a 50-50 allocation, meaning you'd put 50% of your money in stocks and 50% of your money in bonds. And I also know it's easy for an older person, let's say somebody who's in their 70s, to want to stay away from stocks because how volatile they can be. But we must still have a percent of our money in stocks for growth. Otherwise, money can run out very quickly if we keep that money in cash and short-term instruments like bonds.
Hey, Mike, it has been really interesting talking to you. And let me just ask you as we wind up, why are you doing this?
My goal is to share this message with as many people as possible, because I know how important it can be to one's not only financial life, but life in general. I found financial happiness not because I had the most money, but because I became knowledgeable enough to change my life and help others do the same. And I know the more I give, the more I receive.
Well, really, really great. Mike, any final word?
Only that I want the individual to know that we need to be careful not to be so trusting of the financial industry. So I am known as the crazy man in the pink wig for a reason. I want people to know that you're going to have to walk a different path, a path that's right for you. And if that makes you a little bit strange and odd or even crazy, well, so be it, because that's the path that's going to take you to a place of financial happiness.
Well, Mike, thanks so much. It's been fascinating.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to our BloomerBoomer.com podcast. We provide transcripts for most of our podcasts, and you can also access all of our podcasts on iTunes. Oh, and we encourage you to leave a comment in the podcast reply section. And finally, we would love it if you'd register to receive our newsletter. Thanks again.